pick up the Bible that's in the pew before you and turn with me, please, to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And we're reading from verse 26 of chapter 11, and we're reading on to chapter 12, verse 5. The 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, reading from verse 26 to the 12th chapter, verse 5. Let's read it together, taking your time from me. And Terah lived 70 years, and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Issachar. And Sarai was barren, she had no children. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Ending our lesson at verse 5, and God will stamp upon the reading of his infallible book his own divine seal of blessing. Open your Bibles at the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. In my own personal devotions, I have been greatly struck during these past days with something I had never noticed before, that the life of Abraham is divided into the announcement of certain numbers of years. And when the number of years are mentioned, it is the end of one era of Abraham's life and the commencement of another, as we shall see. Here in Genesis chapter 11 and in Genesis chapter 12, which we have read together, we have the facts concerning Abraham's father, Terah. He was probably 180 years old when he left Ur of the Chaldees. He then resided in Haran at least 25 years. And I suggest you study carefully the 7th chapter of the book of the Acts, where the great Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian church, told the story of Abraham. And we need the comments of Stephen to understand many of the things that are not even mentioned in Genesis. Now, Abraham was born when his father Terah was 70 years old. We'll find that in the 11th verse of the 11th chapter. Abraham lived with Terah for those years until he was 75 years old. So if you subtract the 25 years from the 75 years, you'll find Abraham's first part of his life was 50 years in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, 50 years in the Bible is a year of Jubilee. The year of release. The year of emancipation. And it was that for Abraham. Because God appeared to him and God said to him, mark it carefully, chapter 12 of Genesis. Now the Lord had said, because it's in the past tense here, and we are come forward to the time of the death of his father in Haran, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And if you refer to the 7th chapter of Acts, you'll find the God of glory appeared unto Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldees, and he said, quit your family. Well, when Abraham told his father he was leaving, the father said, that's a good idea. I'll go with you. And that was where Abraham started his first time of being outside God's will. You will be amazed at the number of years in Abraham's life when he went outside the will of God. One period, as we'll see, for 13 years, God never spoke to him because he was outside God's will. It is a dangerous thing for any Christian to disobey the revealed will of God. Abraham was told to leave his father, and his father said, this is a good idea, I am going with you. And instead of Abraham saying to his father, stay at home, I'm going on my own, he fell foul of the devil's plan to sidetrack him. Because remember that it was through Sarah, his wife, that the holy seed from which Jesus Christ's body came was to be. And from the beginning of Abraham's call to serve God, Satan attacked him and his wife. Why? Because Satan knew that this was the line of seed that would bring about the wondrous birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But 50 years is the number of Jubilee. So in his 50th year, the trumpet blew for Abraham. The trumpet of release. The trumpet of freedom. The trumpet of pardon. The trumpet of divine revelation. Before that, Abraham was an idolater. He bowed down to the gods of Babylon. Ur of the Chaldees was one of the great priest city of paganism. And he was tied up in the paganism of Ur of the Chaldees. But God said to him that he was to come into the land. You know, it didn't say go into the land. He said come, for God was already there. And God is always before his people. He doesn't come after them. If you read the record of the ark, Noah was called to come into the ark because the Lord was already there. It wasn't the handiwork of Noah that preserved the ark. It was the presence of God in the ark that kept it afloat. And when God's with you, there can be no shipwrecks. God does all things well. So please notice. But if you look at Acts chapter 7, you'll find for the first time something linked after the name of God. There is a description. The God of glory appeared unto Abraham. Now, if you look carefully through your Bible, you'll find out that there's a whole series of additions to the name of God. He's called the God of patience. He would need to be a God of patience with the people of God. For what a thrang people we all are. But God is the God of patience. You'll find that in Romans 15:5. He's the God of comfort. Thank God he comforts his people. There's no comfort, hallelujah, like the comfort of God. You may pass through some dark valley, dear brother, dear sister. And the Christian people will do their best to comfort you. But there no one comforts you like God. He's a God of comfort. He can meet you in the dark of sorrow and leave you uplifted and blessed. He comforts his people. He is the God of hope. Romans 15:13. And thank God one of the things that keeps us going is hope. The man who has hope will stay in the ranks of the battle. The man who has hope will press on in the race. The man who has hope will not forsake because the climate has changed. He has hope, and thank God, God is the God of hope. And if you want hope in your life, communicate with the God of hope. And hope will be born within your breast. And thank God, 2 Corinthians 13:11, he's a God of love. God is love. And God loves his people with an everlasting love, ordered in all things and sure. Nothing can break the band of love that ties Christ to his people. We are bone of his bone. We are flesh of his flesh. We're part of his mystical body. We are one with Christ. We cannot feel because Jesus never feels. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never feels. And then notice, he's the God of peace, Romans 15:33. He's the God that brings peace. What wonderful peace came to your heart the day you were saved? You were troubled. You were convicted of your sin. You went to bed at night, and before you was your sin and dark eternity and hell. And then you looked to Christ. What happened? You got pardon. And you got peace. A peace that passeth knowledge and all understanding. You see, the world doesn't understand you when you say you have peace. The world laughs. Why? Because because they're blind. But you know you have peace. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. And then he's the God of grace. 1 Peter 5:10, the God of grace. And then he's the God of truth. Deuteronomy 32:4. 7 in Scripture is the number of perfection. And there are 7 such deals. The God of patience, the God of comfort, the God of hope, the God of love, the God of peace, the God of grace, and the God of all truth. 7 in all. 7 is the number of perfection, and 8 is the number of resurrection. What are these descriptions? They are the descriptions of the God of glory. This is who the God of glory is. It's a definition. And Christ rose on the 8th day. Now you look at John chapter 20 and verse 26, and you'll find that it was on the 8th day, the day after the 7th, that God rose from the dead. And when you stand on resurrection ground, God is all these things to you. You're not on resurrection ground. You'll not experience his patience and his comfort and his hope and his love and his peace and his grace and his truth. But if you are, all these blessings will be yours. To Abram, the God of glory came to him and told him to go on pilgrimage. And if you trace the pilgrimage of Abram through the book of Genesis, you'll find that every one of these great attributes of the God of glory, one time or another, were witnessed by Abram. He witnessed that God was a God of patience. It was a good thing he was. For many years, 25 years in Haran, he was outside God's will. He allowed his father to stop him on what God told him to do. Yet God had patience with him. When he came into the land, for 10 years, he went astray. God never told him to go down into Egypt, but he went down into Egypt. Many things he did on his own, but God was patient. 13 years after his affair with Hagar, the servant girl, for 13 years God never spoke to him. And when God appeared to him at the end of the 13th year, Abram fell on his face. It's the only time in the Bible that Abraham fell on his face is that record in that chapter. He fell. Why? Because he had sinned. No longer communicated to God as his friend. He had sinned grievously for 13 years. But God had patience with him. And the wonderful thing when God had patience with him, and when he appeared again to him, he changed his name, as we shall see as we go on. And after God changed his name, he never went outside God's will again. He stayed in the will of God. Was a changed man. Thank God, God can change us so that we will be fastened to the rock and will not budge. Fastened to the rock that cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Notice that God gave Abram a sevenfold blessing. It was first of all a blessing of revelation. I will show you a land. Notice the I will. And then it was a message of multiplication. I will make of thee a great nation. And then it was a blessing of consecration, I will bless thee. And following consecration, there was exaltation, make thy name great. And there was the demonstration, thou shalt be a blessing. And there was the preservation, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And last of all, there was the coronation, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You couldn't get a greater blessing than that. You know what God has done with you? He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Every blessing you need, you can have it. Some people say they've got the second blessing. Well, I'm in the millions and millions of blessings. I couldn't say I had only a second blessing, although I understand what they mean by that. But I don't have a second blessing. I have blessings every day. I trust to be blessed today and tomorrow and the next day. Still there's more to follow. More and more. More and more. Still there's more to follow. But when you read that statement in Genesis chapter 12, you have to go to Exodus chapter 6, 4 to 8. And you have to read what God said to Moses. And what did he say? He said, I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. And then he says, he makes this preface, notice it carefully, I am the Lord. And then he said, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it you for a heritage. And then again, I am the Lord. And between those two, you have all these I wills. There's another seven I wills. And those seven I wills are a repetition of the seven I wills that God made to Abraham. For when God makes a promise, he keeps it. God keeps his promises. We live in a day when men have not integrity. They promise things and they never keep them. But thank God, God keeps his promises. And God has promised me that he'll bring me to my Father's house. And glory to God, I'll be there. When the roll is called up thunder, I'll be there. Because I fought a good fight? No! Because God promised it to me. The day he saved me, he said, I'm going to take you to heaven. And you're going to be in heaven forever. And there's not a devil in hell can rob me of that assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. If you're in this meeting today and you're a sinner and you're lost and you're unsaved, thank God God can save you with an everlasting salvation. Right now, you don't need to meet me or meet anyone. Meet Jesus. Call on his name. He saves the very uttermost, all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. He ever liveth what to do to keep his promise. And he's keeping his promise. It is the devil's purpose, of course, to keep us from living in the enjoyment of God's promises. But these promises made to Abram, they were all kept. Note that at the end of the 50 years in Haran, Terah and Abraham were there for 25 years. 25 years outside God's will. Think of that. And yet God had patience with Abraham. The wasted years in Haran. And until the old man died, Abraham couldn't be a new man. And until the old man and you dies, until you take that old nature that you have and you nail it to the cross, and you say no to the old and yes to the new, and you reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God, and you say with the Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When you reach that place, the old man dies, and then victory comes. Please note that 25 is the square of 5. 5 multiplied by 5 is 25. 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. So here we have grace multiplied by grace. Why? Because what God said. God said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So you're going to have abounding grace to put away your failure. The devil would like to remind you of your failures, but the failures, the past, can be all cleansed away, hallelujah, in the precious blood of the Lamb. You can be released from them. Grace triumphed in the life of Abraham. After 25 years of disobedience and indolence, the waste of time. Why? Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God never goes back on his word. His gifts are without repentance. He never gives a gift and takes it away. You get keeping all the gifts God gives you. I remember when the children were naughty, their mother saying to her, one Christmas, I'll not give you anything. And she needed to say it, for they were being typical Paisleys. They wanted their own way. But let me say this to you, God never takes anything from his children. Anything. What he gives forever. How patient and long-suffering God was with Abraham. 25 years, Abraham, I called you to leave your father's house. And instead of leaving your father's house, you went on the journey and then you stopped halfway. You never got into Cana and you stayed there for 25 years. Your father's dead. It's time, Abraham, you were on the march. And we read that Abraham commenced the journey that he stopped. Now there may be someone here who said, well, how do you know that 5 is the number of grace in the Bible? Because the Bible tells me that. The first 5 mentioned in the Bible is, of course, the 5th day. And what could God do in the 5th day? God created great wheels, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And for the first time, it's creation. The word blessed is used. And God blessed them. When? On the 5th day. And you know, the fish of the sea were specially blessed. For when the curse of Noah's flood came, the fish didn't have to go into the ark. They got a bigger swimming pool. God provided them. The whole world is a new swimming pool. And those fish swam and swam and swam. and their nose never touched the banks. They were in a better fullness. And I tell you, when God gives you the fullness of His grace, you'll never touch the banks. Waters that cannot be passed over. And everything that happens first in the Bible always lays the foundation for everything that comes after it. So 5 is the number of grace. So on the 50th day, which year, which is Jubilee, and the 25th year, which is superabounding grace, Abram commenced his journey. And he went in to the land that God showed him he was to go into. And he was there for 10 years in the land of Canaan. Next Lord's Day morning, we will have a look at Abraham in the land and what he did there. And how he again lost his way, did the wrong thing, entangled himself, not in God's way, but in his own way. And we will look at that, God willing, next Lord's Day in the will of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. And we thank Thee for what Thou didst do for Abraham, and we thank Thee that Abraham is the father of the faithful. Even although he was many times faithless, yet at his heart he was the father of the faithful, because Thou hadst done in his heart a work of redeeming grace. O God, help us to obey Thee. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Thee but to trust and obey. May we be an obedient people for Christ's sake. Amen.